A few weeks ago, one of my sons did something that they were not supposed to do. And as the dad, I stepped in and reminded him that he wasn't supposed to do that. And he needed some correction and some redirection. And I did. I jumped in, but unfortunately, I didn't do it well. I lost my temper and made, you know, a not great moment even worse. And as it was happening, in my mind, I'm thinking, what are you doing, right? That this is not the way that this needs to go. You ever had those moments where you're sort of outside looking back and what are you doing right now? Don't do this. Well, that's where I was. And my son went up to his room and I was frustrated with myself and with the situation. And I looked over at Chelsea and she didn't have to say anything. She just gave me a look. And I knew that she knew that I knew that she knew that what I had done was wrong, and that I needed to go make it right with him. And it was an important moment when she communicated that to me without words. But if you're like me, you don't really like being told that you're wrong, do you? You don't really like to feel that conviction, that correction. None of us like it, but we all need it. Right, because there's moments where we do mess up. There's moments where we do handle a situation wrong, where we do the wrong thing. And when we have those moments of correction, it helps wake us up a little bit. It helps us refocus on what's right. That moment of correction gives us the opportunity to seek forgiveness and bring about a restoration of a relationship with the person that we have wronged. And this especially plays out in our walk with the Lord. If you've got your Bible, open to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. This will be our third week looking at this one verse. We're going to look at part 3 today. God's word says this: "If my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal their land." If you haven't been with us the past 2 weeks, just a reminder here, this is a promise written to the people of God found in 2 Chronicles, which is an Old Testament book that recounts, reminds us of the faithfulness of God. In the verses right before this, King Solomon has prayed and he asked God, "Hey God, hear our prayers when we mess up, when we stray, when we do the things that we're not supposed to do, when our hearts are far from you." And God responds with this promise in the verses that follow, essentially saying, "Okay, if you'll seek me in times of that sin or that spiritual despair, I'll bring restoration to your hearts and ultimately to your land, to revival." So remember, this is a spiritual promise for the people of God. And God gave us the steps in the verse to see it play out. 2 weeks ago, we saw that we must humble ourselves before God. Simply put, we're saying, "Jesus, you are Lord, and we are not. We want to live our lives according to your word, your will, your way." And it takes a humble heart to do that, right? It's only with a humble heart that we can do the second part of this verse here. We've got to be a people that pray and seek the face of God. It's true for King Solomon and the people of Israel over 2,000 years ago, and it's true for the people of God today. That's me and you. And when we say seek the face of God, we learned last week, we're talking about being aware of the presence of God in our lives. This is a command for us to constantly and consciously be aware of the reality of the presence of God with us all the time. This is a mental choice to focus our attention, our heart, and our desires towards God. And as we seek God, guess what? We become more and more aware presence of God in our lives, more and more aware of the will of God for our lives, and we become more and more aware of anything in our lives that is dishonoring to God, right? We become more aware of the sin that is in our lives. And as God reveals that sin in us, we get to the third command here in this verse, and that's this: we must be a people that turn from our wicked ways. Humble themselves, seek my face, and turn from your wicked ways. And if you're unsure what wicked ways are, we're talking about sin here, right? Sin is wickedness before God. And as the people of God, we're going to be reminded all morning long that sin has no place in our lives. Now, for most of us, when we read the phrase, turn from their wicked ways, when we think of sin like that, we begin to think of wickedness that is in our culture, that's in our world. And we immediately begin thinking about and maybe even listing examples in our mind of other people's sin. We think about issues in our world that some people struggle with or that other people have begun to champion. We've seen that the last several weeks and months, right? It's easy to look outward and see where other people get it wrong. Look back at the verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14. This is a call for the people of God to turn from their wicked ways. This isn't a call for us to point the finger at anyone else. This is about us doing work in our hearts, turning from any sin that's in our life that goes against the will and the way of the Lord, big or small, okay? I understand that the topic of sin in today's culture isn't wildly popular. Beginning of our last service, as I began to talk about this, like 20 people just got up and walked out. It's like, what is going on there? I haven't even really gotten into it yet. And I realized they were just there to see a friend baptized. And many of them are back in the service now, right? They just stepped out to their life group. So it is all good. But it's a reminder, right? We don't like to talk about this stuff when it comes to our own hearts, do we? And so this morning, as we walk it out, I just want to ask you, have a soft heart today. Right? Don't build up a wall right now. Don't mentally close off. Don't get out your phone and look for something else to do. Go before the Lord. Open heart, open mind, willing to respond how the Lord leads. They're going to put Psalm 139 up on the screen. I want you to look at these verses. The psalmist writes in Psalm 139, 23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, any sinful way in me, and then lead me, God, in the way everlasting." Would you bow your heads with me? We're going to pray as we dive into God's word this morning. And just with your head bowed, your eyes closed, block out any distractions that might be in the room for this moment and ask God to work in your heart. Right? Ask our Heavenly Father to search your heart, to search your thoughts. Ask him, like we see in his word, to reveal any sin that might be in your life. Ask him to through his word this morning, to reveal anything in your life that's displeasing to him, and ask him to help you have a soft heart, to be receptive to his word, so that you can turn away from sin and back to him. Heavenly Father, that's our prayer this morning. God, work in our hearts like only you can. Help us to be humble. Help us to truly seek your word, God, and help us to respond, to turn from anything in our life that does not honor you. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Turn from our wicked ways. It's the call, right? And we often think of the word repentance when we think about turning from sin. And that's good. That was the message from Jesus, the very beginning of his ministry, right? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So when we think about turning from sin, repentance is a word we use. And repentance, just a brief definition, is this. It is a change of mind that leads to a change in direction, right? A change of mind, a change of heart that leads to a changed life. And we get a great example, great picture, illustration of that in Luke chapter 15. If your Bible's still open, flip over to Luke 15:11. Jesus knows that we understand well with illustrations and stories and examples, and so he tells a story about someone that needs to encounter repentance. We know the story as the story of the prodigal son. Luke 15:11, Jesus says, "There was a man that had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that's coming to me.' And he divided his property between his two sons." This is a massive insult here. This is a son asking for his inheritance before his father has died. This is a sin against the father. The next verse says, "Not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had. He gathered up that inheritance, and he took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living." He has wasted his father's money, another sin against the father. Verse 14, when he'd spent everything, a severe famine came across the country. He began to be in need. So he went and he hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country who had sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, but no one gave him anything. Last week we talked about sin and we said sin leads to destruction. And that's where this guy's found himself. He is living with the pigs as a Jewish man, hoping he could get something to eat, but he doesn't. He's literally going hungry. He's starving. Verse 17, when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough? But I perish here with hunger. So I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. So I want you to see he has a change of mind here. He realizes and understands that his father's way is better. Verse 20, he arose and he came to his father. This is a change of mind that leads to a change in direction. When he realized what he had done, he did not stay where he was. He didn't continue to live like he was. His heart, his mind turned back to his father, and he begins to go back to his father. And I love the next sentence. Before we read it, I just want you to see that the father doesn't wait for him to get his act together. The father does not wait for him to get cleaned up, to get the stench of the pigs off. The father doesn't wait for him to make all of the right choices. When repentance happens, look at what a loving father does. It says, while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him, felt compassion on him, ran to him, embraced him, and kissed him. That is a loving and forgiving father, and that's the kind of heavenly father that we have. No matter what we've done, no matter where we've gone, no matter what pigsty we might have found ourselves in or how we've lived, we see here it's never too late for us and we are never too far gone. When we repent of our sins, our Father is there to welcome us home with open arms. With the prodigal son, we see that repentance is not just sitting around feeling bad. Repentance is not just feelings of guilt. Might get the ball rolling, but understand that when we have conviction in our hearts from the Holy Spirit, it's not there to bring about shame, it's there to bring about change. It's there to cause us to turn from sin and turn towards God. The prodigal son from our story, he repented. Here's a more robust definition of repentance from Wayne Grudem in his book, Systematic Theology. He says, repentance is heartfelt sorrow for sin, a renouncing of it, and a sincere commitment to forsake it and walk in obedience with Jesus. This is key for us. A change of mind that leads to a change of direction. Read 2 Chronicles 7:14 again. God's promise there. Understand that repentance opens the door to the spiritual intimacy and healing and restoration. If my people will turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear. Know that when we repent, God responds. Right? We must repent of sin in our lives. We have to change our hearts and our minds about sin. We've got to turn from sin, turn towards God. And I want to explore two aspects of that repentance with us this morning. And the first is this, that the reality of repentance in our own salvation. Right? Repentance happens when we trust in Jesus as our Savior. That's that first turn. When we go from a place of not knowing Christ to becoming children of God. And we've said every week that this verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14, it is a promise for who? For the people of God. And listen, we're not a part of the people of God unless we've said yes, placed our faith and trust in Jesus. John 1:12 says this, but to all who did receive Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. We're in the faith family. We are children of God, not because of us or anything that we could ever do or have done. And we're in the family of God because of Jesus and what he's done. His first message, Mark 1:15, the time is fulfilled, Jesus says. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The gospel, we know, is the good news. And the good news Jesus talks about here is the fact that he's going to pay the price for our sins. And that through faith in him and in him alone, we can be saved. What are we saved from? We're saved from our sin. When we turn to Jesus to be saved, we're turning from what? We are turning from our sin. That's a huge part of our story, our testimony, that we can't live out. We didn't just say yes to Jesus. Understand that in our yes to Jesus, there is a no to sin. Ephesians 2:5 says this, even when we were dead in our sins, our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ. It's by grace you have been saved. We move from sin and death to Christ and life. Repentance, that's what it is. It's a change of mind that leads to a change in direction. We're going to get into this more today. But as we do it with the mindset of a child of God, right? With thanksgiving in your heart that you're in the family because of Jesus. I love the way that Martin Lloyd-Jones puts it. He says, thank God my salvation does not depend on my frail grasp on God, but of his mighty grasp on me. So, we've placed our faith in Jesus. God's got us, right? But understand that the intimacy that we enjoy with him, the intimacy that we have with him, it grows as we embrace this second aspect of repentance. We are called to daily turn from our sin. Martin Luther says it like this, all the Christian life is repentance, turning from sin and trusting in the good news of Jesus, saving sinners. They're not merely one-time inaugural experiences. It's the daily substance of Christianity. He goes on to say the gospel is for every day and every moment. Repentance is to be the Christian's continual posture. Well, what does that look like? Right, for many of us, maybe we never thought about it like that, or maybe this is a new concept to you. It's important. Right back to our verse, when we turn from our wicked ways, we experience this intimacy, this fellowship with God, where he really moves in our hearts. And I want God to move in my heart. I want God to move in the hearts of our church family. And to do that, right, we've got to turn from sin. Let me walk that out with 4 points this morning. The first is this. To turn from sin, we must acknowledge that it's there. 1 John 1:8 says, if we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now, there's a difficult reality that we've all got to wrestle with. And I think probably for my generation and younger, it's especially challenging. Because I think that my generation is really where the participation trophies and ribbons really kicked into gear, right? We've been told our whole life how great we are and how we're number one all the time. Trophies for everything, right? Here's the hard reality. We're not perfect. We're not going to be perfect until we're in heaven in the presence of Jesus. Romans 3:23, it reminds us that who's sinned? Thank you. All have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God, which means that even with the purest of intentions, even after we've trusted Christ, we're going to have these moments, probably daily moments, where we sin, where we think or act or speak or feel in ways that are dishonoring to God. If you drive in Houston traffic, you know that. Even Paul, the great missionary church planner, who wrote so much of the New Testament of our Bible. Listen to what he says in Romans 7, for I do not understand my own actions. I do not do what I want. I do the very thing that I hate. Listen, if turning from sin is going to be our daily pattern, we have to be real enough, honest enough with ourselves to acknowledge that it's there. Thinking that we can hide our sin from God is foolishness. Right, walking around acting like we never mess up or like we never sin, it's like putting our head in the sand. Guess what? The sin's still there, and we just look ridiculous walking around. We can't hide our sin. Reflect on your life this morning. Reflect on your patterns. Reflect on your heart. And as God, in these next few moments, as he reveals sin that's in your life, admit it. Admit it before him. Don't hide it. And listen, just because we're acknowledging sin is in our life, it doesn't mean we're accepting sin in our life. Romans chapter 6, what shall we say then? Should we just continue in sin so that grace can abound? By no means, right? How can we who are supposed to be dead to sin still live in it? So the question is, well, if we're going to sin, and Jesus has already paid the price for our sins, should we just do whatever we want? And the answer is absolutely not. No way. Remember, what put Jesus on the cross? Right? It's our sin that put Jesus on the cross. How in the world could we be okay with it? How in the world could we tolerate it or try to manage it or try to get along and hide it? That is not what we are called to do. Our call is repentance. It's turning from sin. And if we're going to do that, we have to be real with ourselves, honest with ourselves, and acknowledge it. Second, if we're going to turn from our sin, we must hate our sin. You've probably told your kids not to use that word, especially when they're little, and I get that, but there's moments where it is the right word, right? Hating sin is the biblical mandate for us. Romans 12, verse 9, let love be genuine. Abhor or hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Hate what is evil. But we're not to hate people that sin, right? Because we're people that sin. Right? What we're called to hate sin that's in our lives. And if we hate sin that's in our lives, guess what? We're not going to let it hang around in our lives, are we? Remember how we started this morning, what we prayed and just asked God to make our hearts soft today. I want you to just ask him right now, reveal any sin in your life that you don't hate. Reveal any sin that you tolerate. Reveal any sin that you're just sort of letting hang around in your life. And ask him to help you view it for what it is. Could be something you view as big, something that you view as small. Doesn't matter, right? Sin is sin, and there should be no love, no tolerance in our hearts for it in our lives. Colossians 3:5 says this, continues that strong language of Romans, put to death. Right? We don't put to death things that we love, do we? No. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly, what is sinful in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, right? Desiring things that other people have that we maybe can't afford. Put that to death. Anger, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth, lying. Put it all away. Don't babysit sin in your life. Don't let it hang around. Don't give it a place. If you do, it's going to grow. Right? Hate sin, see it for what it is, and that hate of sin in our hearts, it leads us to this next point. To turn from our sin, right, we've got to confess it. We acknowledge it, we view it for what it is, we hate it because we know it messes up our intimacy with the Father, and then we confess it, right? Sin is a serious thing. If you're a believer this morning in Christ and you struggle with sin, don't be discouraged, right? Please be encouraged, understand the incredible love that God has for you, and because of that love, he has given you a better way. Listen, we're never going to be perfect, right? We understand that. Reality of sin, it's there. But when we fall into it, we've got to acknowledge it. We've got to be real. We've got to see it for what it is and what it does, and we've got to confess it before the Lord. And I'm just telling you, when you talk to God about sin in your life, you're not telling him anything he doesn't already know. King David, the Old Testament, the one that killed Goliath, is the one that reigned over Israel for generations. He wrote most of the Psalms that are right there in the middle of our Bible that encourage us constantly in God's Word. His nickname, or he was known as a man after God's own heart. And he fell into the sin of adultery. Somebody called him out on it. He acknowledged it, he hated it, he confessed it before God. If David can fall into sin, you and I can fall into sin. Our response is key. Listen to what David writes in Psalm 51, have mercy on me, O God. According to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, cleanse me of my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight. You remember the Lord's Prayer? Have you ever recited that, said that? Maybe many of us more times than we can count. Maybe you've never heard the Lord's Prayer before. But I want you to point out that when Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray, listen to what he says. He says, pray like this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and what? Forgive us. Forgive us our debts. Forgive us our sins as we have also forgiven our debtors. Jesus taught us to pray regularly for the forgiveness of our sins. Think about this with me today. What we're doing, heart work, and here I want to ask you the question, when was the last time you prayed and asked God for forgiveness over specific sins in your life? Jesus teaches us that confession should be a part of our daily pattern and relationship with God. And I can feel internal wrestling in the room because I see the look on many faces in here, right? I've had that same internal wrestling match this week, right, as the Lord dealt with my heart on different things. And I just want to say that if you're wrestling right now, that's good. You know what that is? That is evidence of God at work in your heart, right? God is revealing things to you, right? God is speaking to you through His word this morning. If God is at work in your heart and you're starting to feel a little bit uncomfortable, I want to encourage you, don't fight God, trust God. Or think about how relationships are restored when people ask for forgiveness. If you've been around here for a little while, you can probably recall one specific story that I've told about Chelsea and me when we were newlyweds getting into an argument. Anybody remember this story? Had this argument, she threw something at me. She threw a warm chocolate chip cookie, stuck to my back. It was this whole big thing. I don't know why, but years later, that's one story everybody seems to get and remember. But it was this wild scene, and we were angry with each other, right? We had a fight as newlyweds. We were mad, and that anger in that moment, guys, it affected our relationship, and it was going to continue to affect our relationship until we sought forgiveness from one another. Until we confessed our wrongs and got things right. We couldn't continue until we addressed the issue. That's what repentance is, right? Our sin affects the intimacy that we are meant to enjoy with God. It doesn't affect our standing before God if we've trusted in Him as our Lord and Savior, right? He is holding on to us tight. He is never going to let us go. But if we have unrepentant sin going on in our heart, it's going to distort the intimacy that we are meant to experience before Him. And we see this morning that when we confess our sin, that relationship, that intimacy we have with Him, it's restored. So if you're here this morning and you say, you know what, I don't know that I felt close to God in a little while. There's been this disconnect here. Maybe you're at a place where you just need to examine your heart and your life and confess any sin that's there and commit to doing things His way. And understand, as we walk this out, Romans chapter 8 tells us there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. So this confession before the Lord, it's not about shame or condemnation. It's about intimacy and fellowship with God. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, guess what? God is faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Back to Luther, he says that repentance is essential rather than optional. Finally, to turn from our sin, we're turning to Jesus every day, right? Not just away from sin, but to Jesus. Repentance, it's a change of mind that leads to a change in direction. Our lives as followers of Jesus should continually look different from our lives before we trusted in Jesus. And we're not just talking about behavior modification right here. We're talking about a changed heart that leads to a changed life, a heart that has changed its mind and changed direction, a heart that is growing in the love and the knowledge of God that is leading to a life that is continually pleasing to God. As we read this here, God's call to turn from our wicked ways, understand that it starts in our hearts. This is an inside-out reality. And it's a continual process that draws us closer and closer to our heavenly Father. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their sin, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. We must be a people that humble ourselves before God. We must be a people that pray and seek the face of God. And we must be a people that turn from our wicked ways. And when we do, God moves in our hearts in ways that we can only dream and imagine. Right? God promises to hear and respond. And we're going to dig into that response in detail next Sunday. We must turn from our sin. Would you bow with me this morning? With your head bowed and your eyes closed, I want to encourage you again, have a soft heart right now. A soft heart before the Lord. Let me read Psalm 139 over you one more time. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, God, and know my thoughts. God, if you find any sin in me, reveal it to me. God, lead me back to you. This morning, just where you're at, I hope and pray that your heart's soft and that you're allowing the Lord to reveal those things in you that aren't pleasing to him. Maybe it's not like King David. Maybe it's not the act of adultery. Maybe it's just the sin of selfishness and pride. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's unforgiveness of other people in your life. I don't know what it is, but you do, and the Lord does. This is your moment to seek that forgiveness, right? To turn from that sin. To restore intimacy and fellowship with our Heavenly Father. If you're in here and you'd say, you know what, I need to take that first step. I've never trusted in the Lord for the forgiveness of my sins and become a child of God. I want to encourage you, don't leave here today without taking that first step. At the end of our service, we've got a prayer room. It's in the back. It's open. Many people joined us in there. Last service. If God's working in your heart, I hope that you'll join us back there after this service. You can turn from sin and turn to Jesus. And let this be your pattern. When things creep up in your life day to day, and acknowledge it, be real about it. Don't babysit it in your life. Hate it, get it out of there. Confess it before the Lord. And commit to living in a way that honors him. Heavenly Father, that's our heart. Lord, we know that there is nothing better than walking in intimacy with you. God, you are our joy. You are our hope. You are our treasure, Father. God, I pray that we would seek you above all things. And Lord, when sin creeps into our mind or our heart or our life, God, I pray that right away we'd get it right with you. We'd be real about it, and we would turn our hearts and minds back to you, Father. Lord, we love you and we trust you. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
Thanks so much for watching. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged. At Champion Forest, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God and growing in their relationship with him. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. Of course, we can't wait to welcome you in person at one of our locations in the near future. For campus-specific times and details, just visit our website at championforest.org. We'll see you very soon.